Hello and welcome to the next module in the course on focusing on what you can control. In this module, we're going to talk about how to focus on controlling your time. Time is likely to be one of the most important yet most expensive resources for the home and side business entrepreneur. There are all kinds of problems that you can handle and solve with money, but there is only so much time in a day, and we're all juggling all these different priorities in our day. And for me, one of the biggest payouts has come when I've been able to, once I was able to get my arms around some time management. Now, don't get me wrong, it's a big struggle. It's a daily struggle, it's ongoing. It's something you gotta, it takes commitment, it takes awareness, and it takes discipline for sure. But it is a huge payout once you're able to kind of get it under control. Now, this is not a detailed time management course, but what I am going to do is I'm going to share with you some of the biggest time sucks that we have in our day so you can be aware. I'm going to give you a great method to help you prioritize your time, and then I'm going to give you some other tips and areas that you can work on to help you reclaim your time. So let's start to talk about what we mean by your time, because time is that one resource that you can never recover. We all have the same 24 hours in a day. And so why is it that we see guys like Richard Branson, some other successful people, maybe even people that you know, they seem to have plenty of time? Well, here's the secret. The secret is they've learned how to control their own time. And what we're going to do is we need to start with awareness. Now, the first thing I want you to understand is that allowing others to control your time, that's a you problem. That's not a they time. That's not a they problem. That's a you problem. Also, focus is important for efficient time use. I think many times when we look back on our day, certainly this is true for me, I realize that there's whole periods of time, maybe even hours at a time where, wow, I really didn't get anything done, right? So being efficient and focused during the time that you apply is also very important. How you use your time will actually determine your level of success. It's not about, we all have the same amount of time. It's about how you use your time, okay? A lack of time is really just a lack of discipline and commitment to the things that you need to do during that time. Let's start by raising the awareness level on a couple of things in today's world that may be costing us time instead of helping us save time. And one of the things that we want to talk about is communication. See, the modern technology has enabled effortless and constant real-time communication. That is one of the huge advantages to this telecommunications world we live in, is to be in constant real-time contact with everybody. However, it can be a huge time suck if not used properly. The reality is that controlling your time often requires the discipline to distinguish between communication that is useful in real time and communication that is distracting in real time. So we need to be able to distinguish between those two different types of communication. So we have to understand that all communication does not have to be in real time, but let's look at some types of communication that are enhanced by real-time communication and some that are really just sucking our time when we communicate like that in real time. So first, let's look at some things that are enhanced by real-time communication. So certainly the collaborative work environment. This is something that I've benefited myself numerous times. I mean, I've worked with teams all over the world, and the fact that we have all these tools and this real-time communication available to us, it makes it so that it's almost like working in the same room. So that has definitely been enhanced by today's technology and real-time communication. Emergencies. Now, this is an awesome benefit of real-time communication because, of course, we can be in contact with those that matter to us, those that in our world, when an emergency occurs. And this may not be all that important, but certainly changing of plans with real-time communication is certainly convenient, right? You know, hey, we're supposed to meet at 6, I know, but I'm here already and there's a big giant line. Maybe we should go somewhere else, right? That is super convenient and definitely enhanced by real-time communication. But let's look at some things that don't require real-time communication or potentially sucking our time. Here's a big one: gossip. No matter what's going on Facebook, what's going on Twitter, what's going on down the street, this 99.999% of this stuff is really just gossip, really information that we do not need to consume in real time, and we have to have the discipline to stay away. How about making plans? Now, one of the great benefits of making plans is it is it cuts out the need for more real-time communication later and helps us get a hold of our time. Now, here's this one is definitely my vice, and this was definitely one that I had to get a handle on for sure. You know, I'm a big sports guy, and I was constantly looking through the Twitter feed, looking at the web page. You know, what's going on with my team? Who's the free agents they're signing? What are they doing with the draft? Who did they trade? What's going on? See, this does not need to be in real time. The reality is at 8 o'clock at night during my downtime, whatever happened during the day will still have happened. Right. And so it's what I needed to do. And I've been much better at this is consume this entertainment kind of information on my own time. And I don't need to be constantly distracted by it during the day. But we have to understand that technology is a great servant, but it is a terrible master. So we have to recognize that. And we have to understand the difference between the communication that is enhanced by real time and what doesn't require real time communication. So now let's get into one that's probably going to hit home with a lot of people. It's what I call the multitasking myth. Because the problem here is that what we call multitasking is really mostly just task switching. We really can't do anything that involves our brain and thinking more than one thing at one time. Task switching is expensive. It's been estimated that we can lose up to 40% of our productivity when we keep switching tasks, when we go from this to that to the other thing. And we let all of these things sort of impede on us at once. Really what we're looking to do is focus. Age here is irrelevant. I've heard people say, well, these young kids, boy, they're great at multitasking. No, they're not. They're no better than you are. They're no better than we are, right? The fact is that our brains can only hold up to somewhere between 5 and 9 pieces of information in short-term memory. And so if you're trying to do more than one thing requiring any level of mental power, then you simply run out of memory just like your old computer does. Context switching costs us an average of 11 minutes each time we do it. So if the phone is sitting on the desk and we're working on something and the bing of the message comes in and we look at it and we get sucked in by that message, well, we've just basically cost ourselves 11 minutes, right? Because we've switched our focus from whatever we were doing to the phone and we've cost ourselves 11 minutes and it's killing our productivity. So we need to be aware. So let's just talk a little bit about the difference between ineffective and effective multitasking. There is a type of multitasking that is effective, that has been proven scientifically to be effective, and we'll talk about that in a second. But let's just look at some examples first of definite ineffective multitasking. And the first one is just creating, thinking, writing, focusing while trying to do anything else, anything that involves thinking, and then trying to do something else that also involves thinking is going to be ineffective. It's not. It's really just task switching. Here's one, responding to a text conversation while fill in the blank. If you are trying to conduct a text a conversation while you're also trying to do something that requires focus, forget it. Every time you switch back and forth to that text conversation, it's a context switch. You're going to lose time. You're going to lose productivity. Have you ever showed up to a meeting and there's 8 people in the room and they all got their laptop open or their phone out? That is, it's a time killer because the problem is the people who are watching, who are paying attention to their laptop cannot possibly be paying attention in the meeting. And so it takes a meeting that could be done in 20 minutes if everybody was focused. It takes it to an hour and a half because nobody is focused. That is ineffective multitasking. All right. So anything that requires mental effort. You cannot do anything that requires mental effort along with something else that requires mental effort. There's just not enough memory in our brains. But there are a few things that we can do to effectively multitask. So let's look at those. How about driving or exercising while listening or speaking, right? Certainly we can drive our car and talk on the phone, assuming we have the proper hands-free equipment, of course. Or we're driving and we're listening to the radio, listening to podcasts, listening to audiobooks, right? This is a definite effective multitasking strategy. How about in our home, meal preparation or cleaning or really doing any type of housework, again, while we're listening or speaking, because we're doing the meal preparation and the cleaning. It's a physical task. And so we can effectively be listening and filling our brains with knowledge or speaking on the phone while doing those things. Basically, effective multitasking comes down to being able to do something physical with something mental. Now I want to introduce you to a method of prioritizing all of the tasks and the things that you have to do. One of the greatest ways to be productive and to manage our time most effectively is if we're working on the things that are most important, the things that are going to help us get to where we need to be. So how do we prioritization is a great skill to have. And so this prioritization method is called the Eisenhower Principle. Why? Because, of course, it comes to us from former President Dwight D. Eisenhower. In 1954, he was asked how he prioritizes his very important time as a President of the United States. And what he said was, he says, I've got two kinds of problems, the urgent and the important. The urgent are not important, and the important are never urgent. So this gives us some insight into how he prioritized his times, and out of this fell this Eisenhower Principle priority matrix that we want to talk about now. The key to using the Eisenhower Principle to help us prioritize is to understand the difference between tasks that are urgent and tasks that are important. We can separate those tasks into a quadrant that looks like this. Urgent and not urgent across the top, and not important and important on the side. So let's look at each of these quadrants in more depth and understand how our tasks fit into these and how we use it to help us maximize our productivity. Quadrant one are the tasks that are important and urgent. And we're going to have to spend time here because they're things that have to be done. These are things like crises and emergencies, deadlines. Maybe today's schedule fits into this. Basically, our strategy here is to manage and do them. We do want to minimize our time here as best we can, but the bottom line is that we have to do these things, so we will spend some time here. The second quadrant is the quadrant where we want to maximize our time. These are the things that are important for us to do, but are not necessarily urgent. These are things that are strategic, opportunities that we have, investments that we make, relationship building, our diet and our exercise also fall into this quadrant. Our strategy for these things is to plan them and then focus on getting them done. And again, this is where we want to maximize our time because this is what ultimately leads to our accomplishing what we're trying to achieve. This third quadrant, in my opinion, is the killer because these are the things that are not actually important, but somehow they seem urgent. These are interruptions that we're getting, the notifications from all of our devices, some meetings, sometimes many meetings, maybe even most meetings, any statement from somebody else that starts with, I need you to, because what's happening is other people are placing their urgency on us and we get distracted. Our strategy for tasks in this quadrant is to avoid, to push back, to delegate when possible. We want to minimize our time here as best we possibly can. The less time we spend here, the better off we are going to be. And in order to do that, we need to be aware, we need to be able to recognize when something comes across our plate, whether it's actually important, whether or not someone thinks it's urgent, we need to understand whether it's actually important for us to do. Now, the fourth quadrant is also a time waster. However, I think in the grand scheme of things, this is not actually a killer for most people. For some, it is, because this is where our distractions come in. Our distractions are entertainment, social media, things that we know we want to get done on some level, like maybe organizing old records or cleaning out the garage, things that potentially we want to get done, but they're not actually contributing to us moving forward, to us achieving what it is we're trying to do. And so our strategy here is to simply limit our time in this quadrant. And what that does, what it takes to limit our time there is simply discipline. If we're disciplined enough, then this quadrant is not a killer for us, but we do need to limit our time there. But at the end of the day, the most important thing is that we do our best to avoid and to minimize our time in quadrant number three. So let's talk about how. How can we start to get a handle on our time? Well, the first one we just talked about, the Eisenhower Principle, right? Let's understand how to most effectively prioritize the things that we need to do with our time. Here's a great one that has definitely helped me. Replace entertainment time. What does that mean? Well, like time in the car. Turn your time in the car into a rolling university or a running university if you're running, right? What that means is turn that into learning time. Instead of listening to mindless entertainment, listen to something useful, right, during that time. Here's a great one. This is just my own pet peeve. Turn off the news. How much news do you consume in your day? I'm not saying you shouldn't consume some news so that you kind of understand what's going on. I'm just talking about, I think we as a society, certainly a culture in this country, we are addicted to the news. So turn off the news. You reclaim a lot of your time. Do you keep a schedule and do you have a focused daily routine? It may seem simple, but just simply keeping a calendar that you can keep track of everything is very important to time management and also a daily routine. Commit yourself to a daily routine. If you don't have one, find one. Keep working on it until you get one. If you had one that used to work, well, recommit yourself to the one that you have. Here's another one. Schedule smart. What does that mean? Well, schedule meetings to fit your schedule. You can push back. You own your time. Schedule meetings to fit your schedule. And also, here's the one that's helped me tremendously too. Schedule in your day. Block them out. Focus contiguous blocks of time, 30, 60, 90 minutes long. And then in those times, you turn off all notifications and you're focused on getting done what you need to get done. Moving on, how about simply turning off notifications and all your electronic devices when you're working, and also from a discipline standpoint, control your urge to go check social media or the news website. It takes discipline to do this. And one of the things that we can do to help us is if we schedule time for email and communication. When those little bells are dinging and the email notifications coming in, we're like Pavlov's dogs. We have no choice but to kind of look at it. So if we turn that stuff off, and all of our devices at this point pretty much have what they call do not disturb mode. Figure out how to use do not disturb mode and turn it on during your focused period of time. Outsourcing and delegation. You need to find what it is that is most important that you do, and you can outsource and delegate as best you can the rest. You want to spend most of your time on your value. Here's a great example. There's a guy named Joel Osteen who runs a very successful ministry, and I saw an interview with him, and he was talking about at one time in his life, like he was running around like a chicken with no head. He was trying to do all these different things. And what he realized was the important part of his ministry, the very most important part, was the message that he gave to his people on the weekend. And so what he did was he outsourced and delegated all the rest of the things that had to do with his ministry to other people. He oversaw them, of course, right? But he outsourced and delegated the doing of all those things. And then he spent his whole week worrying about and dealing with and creating his message. And then his ministry grew exponentially after that, for sure. What you're trying to do with outsourcing and delegation is you're essentially trading time for money. Yep, sometimes it takes money, but you got to make that decision. You got to make that trade sometimes. Another one is be intentional with what you say yes to. Now, how do you do that, right? Some people don't have any trouble. Me, I'm like a yes guy. If somebody wants me to do something, I'm like, oh, okay, sure, I'd be happy to do that. And many times I would be happy to do it, but the problem is do you have really the time? Here's what you got to ask yourself. Where does that opportunity fit with your priorities? Does it fit at all? Is it near the top? Is it near the bottom? If it's not like way at the top, then that's something that you really should be saying no to. And finally, does that opportunity impact your world? We talked about what was the world versus your world. And you need to understand that if it's not impacting your world, then that is something that you should likely be saying no to. Okay, the parting thought for this module is simply that you got to own your time, master your own time. It is liberating and freeing and a huge stress reliever when you come to the conclusion that you actually are in charge of your own time. So that's where you want to be. That's where you want to get to. All right, guys, that's the end of this module. Hope you got some value out of that. Thanks, and continue on.